American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C., before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Yes, we must take America back. Welcome, everyone, to the National Intelligence Report here at Republic Broadcasting Network. We welcome you here on the last day of June in the year of 2023. And tonight we're going to jump into a pretty heady subject. So I hope you got your intellect ready to go today and not your emotions. So we shall see. But first, to take care of some housekeeping. Folks, freedom of speech is becoming more and more and more endangered. We need to step up. We need to protect it. And so I would ask you to go to republicbroadcasting.org and check out the site. Donate if you can. There are products to purchase, and there are sponsors that need your support. So we ask pardon me, that you do that, that you step up. Let's protect the avenues of freedom of speech that are still left to us. And we hope to continue in that method, but it won't work without your help. So today I am welcomed. I would welcome my good buddy from out there in Arizona, none other than Cal Robbins. Cal, unmute yourself and talk to me, buddy.
How's this sounding, Mike? My headsets aren't working today for some reason, so I'm just talking right to the phone. Does it sound okay?
Yeah, you sound okay. You sound like you're in a barrel, but you're good.
I don't know if I'm good, but I'll be in a barrel.
All right. Well, you know, Cal, the thing I wanted to talk about today, and several things have happened recently in this country to make me think of it, but to lead into it, what I wanted to say, is there a society known to history that is any more prone to fairy tales than are the people of this country? And I was just thinking, let's look at all of the fairy tales we've been told. Of course, you know, there's Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. But let's also remember Cinderella, Beauty and the Beast, Rapunzel, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, Little Red Riding Hood, Jack and the Beanstalk, Sleeping Beauty, Puss in Boots, Hansel and Gretel, and, of course, the Frog Prince. But, Cal, my question would be, is there any greater fairy tale than the one that the majority of the people in this country believe is true, and that's the fairy tale about those we call founders or framers?
Well, there's probably...
At least Cal's dog wants to join in the conversation, folks. We apologize for that. But yes, we are a country of fairy tales. And we have been taught these fairy tales. We have also been taught this fairy tale about the founders and the framers over and over. And my contention is, and I think I can prove that unequivocally, that the politicians of the 18th century, the late 18th century in America, were no different in any respect than the politicians of today. They're all there for the same purpose. They want power. They want money. They want the money that power brings them. And they know that to do that, they need to be able to control the people. And that is the purpose there. And like I said, you know, we could, let's take, for instance, you know, George Washington. Is there any real difference in the philosophies of George Washington and those of Ronald Reagan or George Bush or Obama or even Biden or Trump or any of the others? There is no difference. These people do not seek office to protect your freedom and to protect your liberty. That is the farthest thing from their mind. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. So imagine, if you would, today, getting together a bunch of politicians and lawyers and having them draw up a new constitution. You wouldn't be comfortable with that, I promise you. But yet you embrace it if it was done 235 years ago because you have bought into the fairy tale. So Cal, have you made your dog secure? Can you join in the conversation?
Yeah, we're good to go now.
Okay.
No. I mean, basically what you're talking about is fairy tale. It's basically just American mythology. I mean, you know, I'm just supposed future generations will look back on this time in history and go, wow, that was a mythological believing bunch of people, wasn't it? Because, yeah, the whole story about the Constitution and the, you know, Airfinger's founders is a myth. They had no intention of securing people's rights. In fact, they said they were in order, but that was just a tub to a well. That was just words. They just to get the people to go along with the program.
But the actions speak louder than words, Cal. The actions of what they did. And see, that's the thing that you do with a myth, and especially if you teach it in the public school system, and if you teach it at school, a church, and you teach it everywhere else about these wonderful founders, you have to make them appear to be above society. These people were not above society. These people wanted to consolidate. The Constitution of 1787 was written to consolidate power into a very small group of hands. They had to get rid of the states. With the states having any authority, any power, it was much too widely distributed, that power. It could not be concentrated. And nothing says that better, Cal, I believe, than that letter just a month before the convention, that letter from James Madison to George Washington. And here's what he said in part. Conceiving that an individual independence of the states is utterly irreconcilable with their aggregate sovereignty. So what he's saying here is we cannot allow the states to maintain their power and their authority over this government. Why? Because it's too hard. It's too hard to get, at that time, it's too hard to get 13 states to agree to what they wanted to do. And they had tried repeatedly using the Articles of Confederation to get the states to buckle under to their general, what was, in other words, a benign monarchy was what they wanted. But to continue with what Madison said to Washington, he said, and that a consolidation of the whole into one simple republic would be as inexpedient as it is unattainable. So he's saying, hey, we can't really get this done under the way that we're the way that we actually want to. And then he continues, I have sought for some middle ground which may at once support a due supremacy of the national authority, but not exclude the local authorities wherever they can be subordinately useful. And today, people truly and really believe that they have, that the states have some authority over this government. It doesn't make any difference how many times the federal government says, no, you don't. And no matter how many times the federal courts and the Supreme Court say, no, you don't have any authority in this mix of government, no matter how many times, the people still keep believing it. Why is that, Cal?
Because they want to believe it, Mike. They will not face the truth.
Because it's comfortable?
The comfortable lie. If they gave up on this belief, then they'd have to get off their butts and actually do something about it.
And God
way more easier. It's way more easier to watch cars go around in a circle or chase a ball around a bunch of grass trying to knock a ball into a hole or something.
And is what you're telling me, Cal, is that that actual knowledge requires some thought and not some emotional feelings of being comfortable?
Oh yeah, it's you've gone through it and I've gone through it. You know that understanding and realization. This bill of goods that we've been sold about the Constitution was a false narrative. And I went through it a few years back and understanding that it was all false and a myth. And it's hard. It's hard on you emotionally and physically. I mean, I broke down and cried when I finally realized it, you know, because I'd had so much of my, you know, myself invested into the belief of the system. And I don't know. Kind of like breaking an addiction, I guess, but that's what it is. It's an addiction, Mike, and they addict kids right from the get-go, right into school. And then the churches just back it all up.
Well, it's really hard to give up on something that, yeah, and that key word, I was going to use that as well, Cal. It's real hard to give up on anything that you have invested in, is it not?
Oh yeah, I mean, emotionally invested in it, and then you know, there's other people who are financially invested in it. You know, I mean, they're not about to give it up. Of course, that's the whole reason it was around, was because a financial investment for people like George Washington.
Well, I think they were all there, and you know, if we go back, and there's a multitude of letters between these the people we call founders. There's a multitude of letters. You and I have read them on many occasions. And if you read the letter from George Washington to John Jay, in which Washington says, what we're about to do here may not be legal. But did it stop him? He knew better. He knew that it was illegal. He knew that what they were about to do I hate this word, unconstitutional under the Articles of Confederation. He knew what they were doing was wrong, but he went ahead and did it anyway. And in my mind, that compounds the crime. Because if he hadn't have said what we're about to do here may be illegal and he did it anyway, if he would have thought it wasn't illegal and he would have done it, he deserves some credit for not knowing, but he cited in a letter, which means he knew it. And then, of course, again, why did they make their entire proceedings secret, Cal?
Because if they didn't make it secret, people would have known what was going on, and it never would have been ratified. The Constitution would have never been ratified.
Well, that is so true. And before we move on a little farther, I need to tell you that our old buddy DW, I've talked to him twice today, and DW told me, you know, and I'm accusing him of being older than me now, because he said yesterday on the program that we had scheduled, and, you know, with Jim Ram, he said that he got up today and was getting all prepared, and he called me about a quarter of 12 wanting to know what we were going to talk about today. And I said, DW, that was yesterday. And so it was kind of an interesting conversation. And then I asked him if I called him about an hour or less before we went on, and I invited him to come on, and he was in the middle of getting his truck repaired. So unfortunately, our good old buddy DW is not going to be with us for this one today, but he said he would be listening in. So DW, we hope you get your truck repaired and get everything up and going and ready to go, buddy. But Cal, back to this thing, you know, and recently there's been a couple of things that have bothered me, and I have reached out to a former legislator in the state of Missouri. Haven't heard back from him yet, but he was the chief guy, the chief member of the legislature in Missouri that came up with this thing called the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And I was really interested in reading that bill. And that bill is quite something to think about. And it was House Bill number 436, for those of you who would like to look it up. And here I would read you some of the parts of this. Now, the people of, and especially several of these representatives, wanted to make sure that the people's rights, as listed in the Second and the Tenth Amendment, were observed. And, you know, even legislators do not realize exactly what's going on. And that is one of the things I think that we have to actually get into here. But if I could, just let me read from that legislation. It says that the General Assembly of the State of Missouri is firmly resolved to support and defend the United States Constitution against every aggression, either foreign or domestic. And the General Assembly is duty-bound to watch over and oppose every infraction of these principles, which constitute the basis of the Union of the States, because only a faithful observance of those principles can secure the nation's existence and the public happiness. And then continues, acting through the United States Constitution, the people of the several states created the federal government to be their agent in the exercise of a few defined powers. Here's where they missed the boat. While reserving to the state governments the power to legislate on matters which concern the lives, the liberties, and the properties of citizens in the ordinary course of affairs. Well, obviously, he is totally the people who wrote this, and there was an attorney who wrote this. Obviously, these people, and he calls himself a constitutional attorney, haven't been able to talk with him either. But obviously, they are totally unaware of what was done to neuter the Bill of Rights. And they even stated so, and of course we're going to get to that, but here is to go into a little bit more into this Missouri legislation. Limitation of the federal government's power is affirmed under the 10th Amendment to the United States Constitution. No, it's not. But anyway, which defines the total scope of federal power as being that which has been delegated by the people of the several states to the federal government. And all power not delegated to the federal government in the Constitution of the United States is reserved to the states respectively or to the people themselves. And you can tell this was written by a lawyer because he obviously hasn't done his due diligence about this 10th Amendment. But we got some music coming on, and folks, we'll be back on the other side.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Let's talk Bidenomics. I'm Peter Serafin with another Liberty Minute. President Biden and his team are standing behind their economic record as Biden kicks off his reelection campaign. Let's talk about some numbers. $2.39. That was the price of a gallon of regular gasoline on Inauguration Day 2021. $3.56. was the average price yesterday. That is a $1.17 or 49% increase, which costs the average driver an additional $525 a year. So Bidenomics is not good on gasoline. 2.65% was the rate for a 30-year mortgage when Biden took office. 7.51% is the 30-year fixed rate today. That is a 283% increase that costs home buyers an extra $528 a month on a $100,000 mortgage. And those together, the Biden economy, cost the average home buyer with a car an extra $6,861 a year. So sure, unemployment is down, but Bidenflation is robbing all of us. Remember to listen what a politician doesn't say. Until next time, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com. Where the magic's from.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the National Intelligence Report. And I'm here with my buddy Cal Robbins, and we're talking about this legislation that Missouri came up with called the Second Amendment Preservation Act. And Cal, you know, he quotes the 10th Amendment, or they quote the 10th Amendment up to this point. What do you think about that?
Well, they obviously don't understand how the 10th Amendment came into being and the debates that were there surrounding the 10th Amendment in the House and in the Senate. I mean, there's not much from the Senate that we know of other than what Richard Henry Lee and William Grayson have written, but we do have the Annals of Congress from the first House, and we do know how that debate went. And we know that Madison said that the government has implied powers. Yeah, they're few and defined, and I can name three of them that gives the government unlimited powers. So, yeah, they're few and defined, and it gives the government unlimited powers. And there's nothing to protect your rights within those powers. If your rights are in the way of the government, goodbye to your rights. That's how it works.
Well, Cal, let's kind of give the listeners a little bit of play-by-play with that exchange between James Madison and Thomas Tudor Tucker of South Carolina. When Thomas Tudor Tucker said on at least, he made this motion at least three times, And the motion was is that the word expressly be placed in the 10th Amendment before the word delegated. Now, people, words mean something. So he wanted expressly delegated put in front, expressly put in front of delegated in the 10th Amendment. And Madison just absolutely would have none of it. He said no government can be held to its expressly delegated powers. It must have the powers of implication, which you alluded to before, implied powers, which means, pardon me, folks, but it means, in essence, the government can do whatever the hell they want to. And they're doing it now, and they have been doing it for 230-some years. But it has been a gradual. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, let's put it, into the powers. And they have the implied power, which means that they can do whatever they think is necessary and proper to provide for the general welfare of the United States. Not the general welfare of the people, not the general welfare of the states, not even the general welfare of the United States of America, the general welfare of the United States. Those are just two of the powers that give them unlimited powers. And when we throw in Article 6, Clause 2, that they have the final say with the Supremacy Clause, you have a quasi-monarchy, the old government.
Absolutely. And as in the first quote I read from Madison to Washington, he alluded to that effect. But then, if jumping back to the Missouri legislation in that Second Amendment Preservation Act, they jumped from the wording of the 10th Amendment to the wording of the Kentucky Resolution in 1798, which was written by Thomas Jefferson. They don't state that, but this is where it came from. And this is what they said in their legislation. Whenever the federal government assumes powers that the people did not grant it in the Constitution, its acts are unauthoritative, void, and of no force. Unfortunately, that is not true. But that because of the parts of the Constitution you just quoted. But here he continues with from Jefferson. He says the several states of the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to their federal government. Yes, you are. But the government created by the compact among the states is not the exclusive or final judge of the extent of powers granted to it by the Constitution. Oh, yes, they are. Because that would have made the federal government's discretion and not the Constitution the measure of those powers. Well, that's exactly what James Madison told Thomas Tudor Tucker. To continue, to the contrary, as in all other cases of compacts among powers having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge itself, as well of infractions as of the mode and measure of redress. Although the several states have granted supremacy to laws and treaties made pursuant to the powers granted to the Constitution, such supremacy does not apply to various federal statutes. Now, we're about to prove that's totally wrong. Orders, rules, regulations, or other actions which restrict or prohibit the manufacture, ownership, and use of firearms, firearms accessories, or ammunition exclusively within the borders of Missouri. Such statutes, orders, rules, regulations, and other actions exceed the powers granted to the federal government except to the extent they are necessary and proper. I can't believe they use that, for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces of the United States, or for the organizing army. Yep. All music. Be back with you.
Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is. Got the little black car, the little black dress. We got the guru and the trainer and the full course dress. We got the software.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for EaseOff. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Syrah grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Back with the National Intelligence Report of the 30th day of June in 2023. And Cal, we have read some of the provisions from the Missouri legislature, the Second Amendment Preservation Act. But what I was going to say is when the federal authorities saw this act and that it had passed the state of Missouri legislature and signed into law by the governor, it must have caused a whole bunch of pants wetting throughout the federal government, because here is what they said they were going to get rid of in Missouri. Number one, the provisions of the Federal Gun Control Act of 1934. B, the provisions of the Federal Gun Control Act of 1968. C, any tax, levy, fee, or stamp imposed on firearms, firearms accessories, or ammunition not common to all other goods and services, which could have a chilling effect on the purchases or ownership of those items by law-abiding citizens. Any registering or trafficking of firearms, firearms accessories, or ammunition which could have a chilling effect on the purchase or ownership of those items by law-abiding citizens. any registering or tracking of the owners of firearms, firearms accessories, or ammunition, which could have a chilling effect on the purchase or ownership of those items by law-abiding citizens. Any act forbidding the possession, ownership, or use or transfer of any type of firearm, firearm accessory, or ammunition by a law-abiding citizen. Any act ordering the confiscation of firearms, firearms accessories, or ammunition from law-abiding citizens. Red flag laws. There we go. And then it says, it shall be the duty of the courts and law enforcement agencies of this state to protect the rights of law-abiding citizens to keep and bear arms within the border of this state from the infringements in subsection 3 of this section. No public officer or employee of this state shall have any authority to enforce or attempt to enforce any of the infringements on the right to keep and bear arms included in subsection 3 of this section. Number 6, any official, agent, or employee of the United States government who enforces or attempts to enforce any of the infringements on the right to keep and bear arms included in subsection 3 of this section is guilty of a Class A misdemeanor. And last, any Missouri citizen who has been subject to an effort to enforce any of the infringements on the right to keep and bear arms included in subsection 3 of this section shall have a private cause of action for declaratory judgment and for damages against any person or entity attempting such enforcement. Cal, they nailed it with that. What do you think?
Well, up until that very last one, that was just lawyerese special talk, but that last one, that's the one that got their raised the hairs on the back of the neck of the federal government.
Well, stop and think about it, Cal. If they outlawed in Missouri the firearms, the Gun Control Act of 1934, if they did that, then every citizen in the state of Missouri would be able to own automatic weapons. The federal government would have wet their pants for sure.
It would have also
opened up silencers. It would have opened up anything, especially, you know, the bump stock, Mr. Trump bump stock legislation. It would have stopped that. It would have stopped all of the various things that the BATF goes after. It would have caused this alone. And they had to know that there was no way in hell that the federal government was going to allow this to happen. Now, if the federal government cared about the rights of the citizen, if they truly cared, if the 10th Amendment actually meant anything, Cal, why would the federal government care about that act in Missouri?
Well, if the federal government cared, they wouldn't be passing laws against the guns in the first place. In this legislation, what about background checks? Was that going to be eliminated too?
Yes.
Perfect.
It would have the 68 Gun Control Act. That's where we got most of that crap from. And that was, they were going to negate all of that. But Cal, here's the thing that I wasn't really surprised about. Who brought up the most opposition to this in the state of Missouri? I'm not talking about the federal government. Within the state, who were those most opposed to this legislation?
Let me guess, the NRA?
No, the cops.
The cops? Oh, okay.
Yeah, especially the chiefs of police association in Missouri. They were actually going to take the legislature to court to stop this. Now, I have been brought up all my life with people telling me over and over and over again, well, gun control will never work. The cops will never enforce it. They just won't do it. Well, guess what, people? They did it in New Orleans during Katrina in 2005. They've done it in red flag laws all over this country. If you think for a minute that law enforcement, the people that you think are protecting your rights, if you think for a minute they have fought against your rights. They don't want you to have the right And that's obvious. Why would they have fought this legislation? You would have thought that the law enforcement in the state of Missouri would have been, yay, wow, we're finally standing up for this Constitution we said we would support and defend. But the cops said just the opposite. Are you surprised, Cal?
No, they are the enforcers of tyranny. If law is often but the tyrant's will and always so when it violates the rights of the individual, then those who enforce law are the enforcers of tyrants, aren't they? They're the tyrant's enforcers?
Yes. Okay. And they prove it over and over and over again. I mean, what do we have to say more than Waco? What do we have to say more than Ruby Ridge? What do we have to say more than so many of these red flag laws, all of these things that have happened? If the cops really cared about this country, if they really cared about freedom, they would have just said, no, we're not enforcing this. And they would have supported this legislature in Missouri.
Well, if they supported the rights of the people, they would go and arrest the legislators that ever try to pass a law that violates the rights of the people, wouldn't they?
Exactly. But stop.
When have you ever seen that happen?
Yeah. Stop and think about something, Cal. The federal government knew they could not let this law stand in Missouri. They knew they couldn't because if Missouri got by with this, other states would start doing it. The federal government cannot allow this in any way, shape, form, or fashion because it limits their power over the people. It's just really simple. But who was the, Cal, on the federal level, who filed a lawsuit against the state of Missouri?
The Justice Department.
The U.S. Justice Department. So the people of Missouri wanted their rights to be protected under the Second Amendment, and the people who didn't want their rights to be protected under the Second Amendment was the federal government, the U.S. Just Us Department. There's no justice in there. It's just us. So it was the Just Us Department said, no, I'm sorry, we can't allow this. And then, amazingly, of course, I didn't find it surprising at all. The thing they did was they filed a suit for summary judgment. And people go, well, you know, what's summary judgment? Well, what it does is that they ask the federal judge to exclude these proceedings from a jury trial. And so we have one person sitting in a black robe who negates the entire population of the state of Missouri. Now, someone want to explain to me how that is democracy? When one federal judge, who probably wouldn't know the Constitution if you swatted him in the ass with it, one federal judge decides that, okay, no, you can't do that. And what did he cite, Cal? The Supremacy Clause. He said, you can't get by with that. You can't do that because the Supremacy Clause. And so what he said, in effect, Cal, and I think the people of this country better learn this real quickly, is he said that the Supremacy Clause negates any rights you think you have under the Bill of Rights of the United States or under the Bill of Rights of your individual states. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. Isn't that what William Grayson wrote to Patrick Henry?
Oh, yes. And so did.
It
would
be nugatory.
Yeah.
All of your rights will be nugatory at the pleasure of the U.S. government.
Absolutely. Very much so, my friend. They certainly did. And then here is something else that I think that people just cannot seem to understand. And that is, you know, what the people My mind's running 100 miles an hour here, and I can't keep up with everything. But according to the federal attorney in this case, his name was Boynton, B-O-Y-N-T-O-N, and the federal courts, you have no rightful remedy to the usurpation of any of your rights and the rights of your posterity under any written constitution, whether it be federal or state. You have no remedy when they take away your rights. People, you better wake up, and you better wake up pretty damn quick, because this is coming more and more and more. Now, although this may be a hard pill to swallow for most folks suffering under their local Marxist education, the lawyers who wrote the 10th Amendment as part of the first Congress had planned for just such an eventuality, and it, as was stated by Senator Richard Henry Lee in a letter to Patrick Henry during the first session of Congress in September of 1789. Now, Cal, as we have mentioned before, and you mentioned it, is the fact that the U.S. Constitutional Convention was held in secret. Well, the first U.S. Senate was held in secret. What does that tell you? That the Senate was in secret. These people were, so the people wouldn't know what they were doing in the beginning. But we do have these letters. These letters tell us what we need to know. But Richard Henry Lee, in a letter to Patrick Henry, states this, what happened in the U.S. Senate about our Bill of Rights. And I quote from that letter. The preamble to the amendments is really curious. A careless reader would be apt to suppose that the amendments desired by the states had been graciously granted to the people. But when the thing done is compared with that desired, nothing can be more unlike. By comparing the Senate amendments with those from below, meaning the House of Representatives, by carefully attending to the matter, the former will appear well calculated to enfeeble and produce ambiguity. For instance, the rights reserved to the states of the people. The people here is evidently designed for the people of the entirety of the United States in aggregate, not the people of the individual states. The former is the constitutional idea of the people. In other words, the people believe the 10th Amendment, when it says, or to the people, they believe that that means the people of the states. That's not right. And Richard Henry Lee goes on and says, I observe that then they belong to the people of the states in aggregate, but that this mode of expressing was evidently calculated to give the residuum to the people of the entire United States, which was the constitutional language, and to deny it to the people of the individual states. Again, the 10th Amendment is lawyer word salad. And again, he proves it here. He says at least the way it was written left room for cavil and false construction. They would not insert after people the word thereof, although it was moved. Now, people, that tells you their intent, because it says, or to the people thereof, which would have meant the people of the states. Once they changed that to the people in aggregate, that put all of the power back into the hands of the federal government. That's why they could rule correctly. Now, here's what he said that they said in the Senate. Now, people, you need to listen to this very carefully. And I quote, it was affirmed, now in the first Senate, it was affirmed that the rights reserved by the states' bills of rights do not belong to the states. So the amendments that were presented to the first Congress and the amendments in their state constitutions do not belong to them. They belong to the federal government. And the federal government keeps proving that every day. And they're doing it more and more. People, you do not have a 10th Amendment. You do not have a 2nd Amendment. You do not have any of the amendments. You do not have any of them because every one of them is subject to the Supremacy Clause. The federal governments have said it all over and over again. Of course, that was confirmed and reiterated by U.S. District Court Judge Brian Wimes when he, responding to the lawsuit filed by the U.S. Justice Department and in a motion for summary judgment, ruled that the Missouri law is unconstitutional and invalid, null, void, and of no effect. Now, what this Obama appointee to the federal bench openly declared was that the people of Missouri and all other states are, when it comes to laws, are invalid, null, void, and of no effect. The courts have said you have no rights. Now, how long is it going to take for these wonderful charlatans running all over the country claiming 10th Amendment Center, Chris Ann Hall and Barton, David Barton, and all these other people telling people how many rights they have under the Constitution? How long is it going to take before they realize that's a lie? See you on the other side, folks.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject, from the funding behind the transgender movement to firsthand memoirs of World War II previously inaccessible to English-speaking audiences. We publish books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo. Whether you count yourself as a political dissident, student of history, connoisseur of philosophy, or enthusiast of exciting and thought-provoking fiction, you owe it to yourself to check out our catalog. With exclusive offerings like The Transgender Industrial Complex, Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more, there's something for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out our catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com and use code RBNReaders2023 for 10% off your order. That's RBNReaders2023. At antelopehillpublishing.com.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know shilajit by other names: shilajit, momio, momi, mami, mineral pitch, asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, what condition my condition was in.
I woke up this morning with the sun down shining in. I found my mind in a brown paper.
Well, it's, if you believe for a minute that your condition, if you're wondering what condition your condition is in, if you think that your condition has any rights in front of this federal government, you are delusion. You are in a massive delusion, and you have been listening to a fairy tale all too long. Cal, your thoughts so far, buddy?
Well, when you started off reading, was that Richard Henry Lee's letter to?
Yes.
Or was that William Grayson?
Okay. That was Richard Henry.
It's important to note that the Virginia Ratification Convention, part of their ratification was that they proposed 40 amendments. 20 of those would have been bills, what were considered bills of rights, and 20 amendments that would have actually changed the structure or power or powers of the government. And those were included with their ratification. So they were part of the ratification. And they had formed a committee to come up with those bills of rights and with those amendments. And there were 20 members of it. Mr. Grayson, William Grayson was one of them. Also, James Madison was another one of them. And what Richard Henry Lee is saying at the first of it is these amendments that came to the Senate, he was kind of expecting them to be somewhat similar to the 40 amendments Virginia had proposed. And he says they were far short of that. And they were already twisted to where they were meaningless. And then by the time the Senate got done with them, they were even more toothless. Well, I think it's important for people to understand that, you know, Madison was proposing amendments as just to placate the people, as a tub to a whale, as Jonathan Swift once wrote about it. And it's just a pacifier for the people to suck on as the tyranny reigns on. People keep claiming you have these rights, you have this, you have that, and the government keeps violating it. And at what point do you understand that, no, the government does not recognize your rights? If your rights are in their way of what they want to do, they will not recognize them. I don't know what it's going to take for people to understand that.
The
Bill of Rights isn't going to protect you from it.
No, the thing that also I think we should throw in here, I don't have it in front of me right now, but William Grayson and Richard Henry Lee wrote a collective letter to the legislature of the state of Virginia, and they told the legislature not only what Richard Henry Lee said about everything was negated. As a matter of fact, I think it was William Grayson said we might as well have tried to take up Mount Atlas on our shoulders as to try to get through to these Federalists the rights of the people. Now, he said it much more eloquently than I did, but Grayson and Richard Henry Lee also told the Assembly of Virginia that in the Senate, now you got to remember the Senate was, there was 22 members of the Senate, 20 of them were Federalists, 2 of them were Anti-Federalists. The 2 Anti-Federalists were Richard Henry Lee and William Grayson. And they stated to the General Assembly of their home state of Virginia, or their country as they called it, we brought up in the Senate all 40 amendments, the 20 to protect the rights of the people and the 20 to restrict government, and they were all just absolutely destroyed. There. It wasn't allowed. Here comes our music, and we'll see you back on the flip side of the first hour. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
We must take America back. We must take America back.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? And what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.